from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint.
And I'm Barry, and we are live from two different places, about 12 minutes apart.
Coming to you from around the world, not really, just in Orlando. we're trying this whole YouTube live thing today, so bear with us. It's still a learning experience, so we got lots to talk about today, so I'm going to hand over the keys to Barry and kind of let him helm things. And since I got a lot to worry about backstage, at least with what's going on here. Real quick, first things first, I know we talked about it on a previous episode because Barry had went to it.
But then last night you got to experience the H2O Glow Nights party at Typhoon Lagoon, along with your, I'd say your cooler son, Jordan, or the older son, Jordan, or the one who's ready to experience thrills, Jordan.
Yeah.
So Disney invited us out to, after I had like paid and gone, Disney invited us out to go to Typhoon Lagoon and check out Glow Nights, and you were able to go since I was indisposed. And what'd you think of the event?
I loved it. I mean, as you saw me praising on Twitter and all the social media outlets, the 3 hours you get for H2O Glow is worth the price, in my opinion, because we did that park probably twofold in about an hour and a half. And I looked at because I had my phone in like one of those waterproof pouches, and I kept checking the time. I was like, we got to be close to, you know, park closing soon. And no, it was like 9:30, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we still got, you know, an hour and a half to go. So just the value, I think it's worth it. The price, tickets are what, $60?
$55. And then you get $5 off if you're an annual pass holder. It's 5 or 10%. I can't remember off the top of my head, but
yeah. But I mean, you only get 3 hours, but in that 3 hours, like I said, you can easily get a huge chunk of the park done, if not the whole thing. Like I said last night, it was a Saturday night, so if any night it's going to be busy, it's going to be that. And I think the longest we waited was for, I don't know the name, I'm terrible, I don't know the names of any of the slides, but it was the ones that are just the single person tubes.
Yeah.
Over by like the near the kids area.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I think the gangplank
falls.
Yeah,
and one of the others, I forgot the other falls name, but it's
yeah, they're all falls or something like that. But anyways, I think that's the longest we waited because obviously that's not a very high capacity ride. Each person going down individually, so I figured, you know, that was, and even that we only waited probably 10-15 minutes. Every other slide was either walk on or, you know, we had maybe 8 or 10 people in front of us.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a great deal. The party is 3 hours. You get in at 7. You get in the last hour that the park is open to the public, which I definitely recommend. Get there, get that at that entrance, parked, and make sure you're at that entrance like 10, 15 minutes before 7 o'clock so you can get breeze right in, get your locker if you need to, or get your chairs if you need to, and then jump on the Lazy River. Or into the wave pool while you wait for the park to officially close, and then as soon as that park closes, boom, you're the only ones that are allowed on the slides. And you know, they put out special floats on the Lazy River. There's, you know, you get to meet Buzz, Woody, and Jesse. There's a dance party. There's special food and drinks. There's even one of the bars has like separate entertainment with, like, I think you saw steel drum. I've seen steel drums, and also I think a guy with a guitar playing too at that one. So, I mean, but the biggest thing, there's virtually no lines for almost any of the slides.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest sell point of this whole event is the little to no crowds. I mean, it started off like the two big rides, obviously Misadventure Falls and Crush and Gusher. They had people waiting, so those had like an initial blast of, you know, people wanting to ride, but after people started to spread out and really, you know, get all over the park, there was no wait for the rest of the night. And we had a blast. I mean, like I said, we did everything probably a couple times. So, you know, if you're looking to go to the water parks, and the other good thing is you don't have to worry about the sun. You don't have to worry about suntan lotion. It's at night. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff.
Yeah. And that, I mean, and you get to see Typhoon Lagoon at night, which we don't really get to see that much anymore, is the park after dark.
It
doesn't really stay open later like it, yeah, I believe it used to back in the day. And it's such a well-themed park, and it looks great under the lights. So, we definitely, if you get a chance, you have now through August 11th, get there. Go to it. It's on Thursdays and Saturday nights through August 11th, and check it out.
Yeah, there's I did all sorts of coverage on Twitter, Instagram, our Instagram story. I posted a bunch of stuff on there. I did a live stream, and the live stream, me and Jordan rode Misadventure Falls, and we got off and we got right on Crushing Gusher. So that was a fun little live stream we did on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thrillgeek. You can check that out there.
And then, of course, on our YouTube channel, we have a vlog. we have a video where show you what the party's like. I went and check it out on our YouTube channel. Moving on, we're still at Disney and Disney World, and off to Disney Springs. One of our favorite places, Raglan Road Irish Pub and Restaurant, has debuted some new shows. They have a brand new show, Rhythms of Raglan 2018, which is their main show that they have on their main stage there, that has just launched after months of rehearsals in Ireland. And, you know, this show sort of takes you on a journey of Irish culture and music. And, you know, they've updated the show with, you know, there's four new shows that run throughout the evening. You know, you got some of the same musicians return. You got 11 new ones. They've updated, you know, there's new Irish dancers, there's new dance routines, there's 14 new songs, there's all kinds of new musical content that runs the gamut of Irish music, from traditional to Celtic rock to you know, all kinds of different things. And
I really didn't get to read up on this event when you I missed the announcement, and when you posted the article, I quick skimmed over it. But you know, I love Raglan Road. It's always, you know, they invited us out there this year for the St. Patrick's Day event, which is always a blast. And I've always been I always enjoyed the Irish Celtic culture and the music. So the fact that they're adding new things and changing it and updating it is a plus for me, because I always enjoy going out there, and the food's great. So I'm pretty excited to get out there and check this out.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what that place is known for. You get a great meal. It's got great food, great drinks, a massive selection of different beers and ciders, and then mixed drinks, and you get entertainment. You know, and that's one of the things I like about the place is, you know, because you go to Disney Springs, you know, it does cost more than if you're going down the street to go to a restaurant. And one of the great things I like about that place is you get a show with your food. So
yeah,
that new show is going, and so check it out next time you are at Disney Springs. So, and continuing at Disney World, they've announced some new perks for, at least for right now, for certain levels of pass holders. They announced the VIP pass holder nights, which were announced, and they've already, at least the first three apparently have, I believe, already filled up. For a special 2-hour after hours event at one night's at Magic Kingdom in August, and then there's two nights in September and October at Epcot. And it's for Gold, Platinum, Platinum Plus, and Premier pass holders. And
when they announced this, I thought it was all for Magic Kingdom for some reason. I thought it was all at one park.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to the September Epcot one just because due to
You said you had plans or something on the.
Yeah, well, I have to be in at work at 3:30 in the morning on Monday, August 6th, so yeah. I can't go to the August 5th one. But I'm looking forward to see how. I find it interesting that we're getting these perks now, and there's going to be other perks coming. Apparently, there's going to be, you know, pass holder exclusive in park offerings during some of the different seasonal events coming up, including special giveaways. There'll be special surprises in the park. So anything that gives more perks to the pass holders, hey, yay for me.
Yeah, there seemed to be a lot of people excited on social media that they're doing stuff like this because Disney seems to have been neglecting, I guess you could say.
Well, the pass holders. Disneyland annual pass holders seem to get a lot more perks.
Yeah.
Than we do. You know, like at Disneyland, they get discounts at like all the restaurants, including quick service.
Yeah.
I think we get the same amount of merchandise, but they have more special events there. They have a lot of more extra perks at Disneyland. So if this is I'm all for moving into this type of direction. I can understand, I guess, some people who are silver or lower are sort of irked.
Yeah, I saw some bummed out.
I think the point is, you know, when they've gone to these multiple tiers a couple years ago, a lot of people drop down. And I'm wondering if this is their way to try to get some people to bounce back up a tier, you know, bounce up back up a tier.
Yeah.
So we will see. You know, the party, you know, the first one's coming up on August 5th at Magic Kingdom. So, you know, we will see coming soon what these special events are like, whether there's anything extra at these events.
That was the other thing I was wondering, you know, if are they just going to kind of open the gates up and, you know, keep the rides open, or are there going to be, like, you know, additional things for the pass holders to do in there, like a...
Well, see, that's what I'm wondering. Will they do like they do at the DVC parties, where they'll have certain rare characters out?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But, you know, I look at it this way, you know, they're opening the parks an extra 2 hours. They're going to have most of the rides open, you know, shops. I'm sure they're also looking at the fact, hey, let's get the pass holders in the park. They're going to spend some money. You know, it's all, you know, it's a perk for them. And I'm sure Disney will make money that night. So it's a perk for the company.
And what are the hours? Are the hours for the event for each night pretty much the same?
It's pretty much 2 hours after close.
Okay.
So, like, you know, Epcot closes at 9, so the event will be from 9 to 11.
Okay, so it's like H2O glow for the parks for pass holders.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, I unfortunately can't go to the Magic Kingdom one, but we will definitely be at the first Epcot one, and we will definitely be all over the social medias giving you guys updates on what's going on at that.
I won't be there.
Yes. I have the annual pass.
Yeah.
Let's move over to the West Coast, to Disneyland. An interesting thing came out of the fallout from the James Gunn being fired off Guardians of Galaxy. Is Bobcat Goldthwait, who, you know, I mean, most of you remember him as a comedian, but he's also a director, an actor. He sort of dropped some information that probably wasn't supposed to be revealed.
Yeah.
That he had done some voice work for an upcoming attraction to the park, and he sort of asked himself to be removed from this attraction because he didn't agree with the firing of James Gunn. And he revealed about something called World of Color Villainous.
Yeah, I have his Instagram post right here. He said, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's long and not needed. But he said, "Dear Disney, I have the picture with my arrow in there. But I hate to come off as hypocritical, so I'm suggesting that you remove my voice from an attraction that's coming to your park. It's called World of Color Villainous, and I reprise a role of Pain. A role I played in Hercules." And then he goes off on how he's upset with the whole James Gunn thing and everything. So
yeah. So it's you know, we're assuming that this would be Halloween, a Halloween time. Is it actually, isn't it called Halloween time, I think?
At Disneyland, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it would be a Halloween offering. So, you know, no, Disney's not going to confirm or deny that. I mean, World of Color is under a lengthy refurbishment right now due to issues they've had out there.
Yeah.
So
they're saying it could be open. It couldn't be open until possibly after Christmas.
Yeah. Which we'll get into the next amount is the Christmas version of World of Color was left off the holiday announcement this year.
Yeah.
So I mean, hey, I mean that's one of the points of the World of Color platform and that type of platform is you can put in different types of shows, which they've done with. You know, Disneyland's 60th anniversary. They have a holiday show now.
Yeah.
So I mean, it. You know, they've been pushing Halloween more and more, and especially trying to get more Halloween into California Adventure. You know, with they added the Cars. What the Cars Halloween decorations this year. So
and I don't think they've never done a World of Color. I mean, they have the. They have the typical villain section in the regular World of Color show, but they've never done a Halloween World of Color show prior to this, have they?
No, there's only been three versions of the show. The World of Color show.
The 60th.
The 60th, and then the Christmas show.
Yeah.
So, hey, if it turns out to be true, then...
Yeah. I'm all for more Halloween.
Which I mean, it's a rumor, but I mean, I doubt he would say this if he hadn't truly done some voice work for this show.
So. Sure. That was pretty interesting, though.
And speaking, staying at Disneyland, they did announce their holiday announcement, where Disneyland Resort holidays return November 9th and run through one of the things I like about what they do at Disneyland is they run their holiday stuff through January 6th, through the first weekend in January. Whereas here, it's like December 30th or 31st, we're done.
New Year's Eve, yeah.
Nothing, I don't think there was really much in the way of anything new this year, just returning things like California Adventure, the Festival of the Holidays returns, which, you know, is decorations, special entertainment, the Disney Viva Navidad street party, you know, so, and then Cars Land gets their two holiday overlays on Luigi's Joy to the World and Mater's Jingle Jamboree.
Speaking of, you know, I'll come to, I just got reminded of something that we need to address at a different park, though. But yeah, I think this was the day that I had all those articles to post, and I think the Raglan Road one and the Disneyland Christmas one were the ones that I quick skimmed over. And like you said, nothing really new for us to really dive into. But yeah, we have Disneyland's Christmas holiday time celebrations, and it starts off when?
November 9th, and you know, over at Disneyland, all the holiday favorites are returning. Believe in Holiday Magic, the Christmas Fantasy Parade, and of course the seasonal overlays that always make us jealous of It's a Small World Holiday and Haunted Mansion Holiday.
Oh gosh, yeah, my Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, no, I've been lucky enough years ago to see both those, and it's like I am ready to go back to Disneyland for the holidays.
No, it wasn't ready because when we were there for the 60th, I think it's a Small World holiday overlay comes a little bit later.
Yeah, it starts in
compared to Haunted Mansion holiday.
Haunted Mansion starts in September.
Yeah, you see, we were there like the last week of September, so I think we missed the It's a Small World holiday.
Yeah, and then It's a Small World doesn't start till like November.
Yeah,
because the Haunted Mansion, I mean, basically their Haunted Mansion from September into January is Haunted Mansion Holiday.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I love my Haunted Mansion Holiday.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so moving on here. We're moving on across the seas, right?
Yeah, we are going all the way to Hong Kong Disneyland, where new details were revealed about Ant-Man and the Wasp attraction, which A&M renamed. The name is Ant-Man and the Wasp Nano Battle. The official description was, when a routine trip to S.H.I.E.L.D., Science and Technology Pavilion at the Stark Expo, so I guess they're sort of keeping that whole theme, takes an unexpected turn and guests join forces with Ant-Man the Wasp and S.H.I.E.L.D.'s state-of-the-art vehicle to fight against Arnim Zola and his army of Hydra Swarm Bots in a heroic battle.
And this is the ride that's basically replacing their Buzz Lightyear, right?
Yes, yeah, it's the ride that's replacing their Buzz Lightyear, and it's, and, you know, it's added in addition to already they have the Iron Man experience. So I guess they're, which I believe is themed to like the Stark Expo too. So, you know, I guess they're sort of expanding this whole Stark Expo thing.
Yeah, because Hong Kong's getting a whole Marvel expansion, aren't they? It's going to be finished in like 2020 something.
Yeah, this is 2023. This is one of the things that are part of their Marvel expansion.
And they also announced that, I mean, obviously, where did I see it here? Yeah, Paul Rudd will be part of the attraction, obviously.
Yeah, and Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah, she will be too. So,
I mean, that's one of the things that Disney has with building their own Marvel attractions is they can involve the actual MCU actors in the attractions.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is still what's scheduled for 2019. So that's
Ant-Man and the Wasp. Was it ever decided that Ant-Man was part and they can't use him over here, you know, the whole Universal thing?
I believe he is, because they're part of the core Avengers.
Yeah, because yeah, I know that I've seen a lot of people discuss it on, actually asked the question on Twitter, is Ant-Man, are they able to do an Ant-Man attraction over here stateside?
Yeah, I mean, they can do anything in Disneyland.
Yeah.
But, you know, here, right now, the only thing that's free and clear is Guardians and Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange falls in a gray area because they had him, like, when the movie opened, they had a meet and greet with him for a little while.
I remember they had him at Hollywood Studios.
But he's sort of in the gray area. But, you know, there's been that whole thing of whether, you know, and like the only use of Black Panther at you know, Islands of Adventure is like a picture. One of the walls in one of the restaurants, I believe.
Oh yeah, and the Ant-Man, he's on it or something.
Yeah, well, Black Panther is on it. So, because there's been talk, the whole rumor with Wonders of Life of that becoming some sort of Wakanda outreach pavilion.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, so
they're wrapping up the refurbishment on that too. So
yeah, and you know, rumors have come out about, like, you know, there's been Imagineers in there, and there's been markings on stuff, and. Yeah, you got to wonder. You know, they've spent all that money refurbishing that roof and everything. If they're finally going to,
I just don't know what they could put in there.
Yeah, I mean
they have Body Wars.
We know. You know, a lot of the stuff in Body Wars has been ripped out.
Yeah,
we know. You know, I believe what the Archivists and Imagineers have been into Cranium Command to prepare that to be dismantled.
It'll be interesting.
So something's got to be coming there. You know, they're putting Guardians in, but there's obviously a lot more that's been talked about the future of Epcot, and that's one big piece of property right there that could definitely have something. And you would think if they're going to put another Marvel property into Epcot, they would probably put them right next to each other.
Yeah, considering you got Guardians right there, it makes sense. So,
but staying in over in the other side of the world, Universal Studios Japan announced their 2018 Halloween details, which they do Halloween a little bit differently there.
Yeah, they kind of go all over the spectrum, and they cover all age groups, not just. You know, like here we have, they have Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Orlando. They have they actually have a pretty adorable, like kid friendly Halloween event they do there.
Yeah. I mean, they basically, they call their Halloween Horror Nights, like that's where they have the haunted houses, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, their haunted houses for 2018 are going to be, are called Hotel Albert, Cult of Chucky, which obviously Chucky, Insidious, The Last Key, and then The Survival, Dead Man's Forest 2. But then they have their more kiddie Halloween, which is called Kowakawa. I'm probably saying this wrong.
Kowakawa.
Kowakawa Halloween.
Yeah.
Which, you know, there's like Halloween versions of the Minions and the Sesame Street characters and Hello Kitty and Snoopy. Because they have some, they have characters that we don't have over here. There's a Festa de Parade. You know, there's all kind of, there's the new Halloween lights, which illuminates the night. It's the perfect way day to end Halloween fun. There's what, trick or treating, I believe.
Yeah, they said it's going to happen during this parade, the Festa de Parade that you'd mentioned.
Yeah, he said something about candy. I don't know how quite how that works, the candy raining down from the sky. That
doesn't sound safe.
But
they use air cannons to blast out candy or something.
Blast out candy at kids.
Yeah, but what was really interesting is I remember they had trick-or-treating in Hogsmeade years past. I don't know if they did it for a couple years or it was 1 year, but there's no mention of that. So I don't know if they changed it this year to do it during this parade thing, but I didn't see, it took me forever to find, first off, an English version of the press release for this event, but I didn't see any mention of trick-or-treating in Hogsmeade, which was really cool. That was one of the cool things that they did. Like I said, I can't remember if they did it a couple years or if they did it for 1 year, but they did trick-or-treating at Hogsmeade 1 year, and I thought that was really cool, but I didn't see it this year, so I don't know if maybe they ran into something with Warner Brothers or something happened with Potter and they don't do the trick-or-treating thing anymore, but...
Yeah, and one of the people who's watching the... who's listening to us on YouTube was like, Frank and Minions, I'd only go to HHN Orlando if they brought them here.
Yeah, the Minions are pretty adorable.
Yeah, I mean, and that's been one of the talks for... I feel like for years now, whether maybe over in Islands, whether Universal will finally do like a kid-friendly Halloween event. You know, we've all bounced that one back and forth for years now, whether that would ever happen.
I just don't know. I mean, surely there's a reason why they do it over in Japan. I don't know, with the Japanese culture, the way things over there, if they just tend to do things differently with Halloween. I don't know.
I don't know if they're trying to, they want a more broader appeal there, whereas you know, all three other of the Universal parks all do Halloween Horror, like full-blown Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, I mean,
where theirs is more of a mix of kid-friendly stuff and the scary stuff.
But yeah, so the Minions, the Halloween Minions are pretty adorable, and if you look at the artwork, which we have on the article, there's even like Minion candy. I don't know if that's actual candy they give out, but there's like a little candy wrapped up in like little Minion wrappers.
Yeah. So, I mean, or, you know, or I, you know, really it could actually be something they could do during the day at the studios. You know, you could do some kid friendly Halloween stuff.
But sure. I mean, SeaWorld does their, you know, Halloween thing during the day. I don't see why it's something that Universal here could jump on, you know, do something in, you know, just the kids area or something like trick or treat.
But that is much like here, Halloween there starts September 7th and runs through November 4th.
Oh, so they actually go into November too.
Yeah, so they start early and go into that weekend after. So that's all coming to Universal Studios Japan, which I like we've said before, God knows how many times, we can't wait to finally go over there one day.
Yeah, one day.
But we're going to move all the way back over to Universal Orlando Resort. You know, we're getting closer to Adventura Hotel opening on August 16th, and they revealed a little bit more about the Bar 17, which is the rooftop bar that will, and bistro, which will be on the 17th floor of the hotel. They revealed some more of the food and drinks, and you know, I mean, they're trying to really go with sort of that, I hate to use the word hipster, but the hipstery sort of upscale, like, you know, food and cocktails. And, you know, there's going to be one of the things that I like is, you know, what's become very popular are the bao bun sandwiches. And they're going to have a bunch of those with, you know, everything from lamb to pork to shrimp to even like, you know, for the vegetarians, like tempura baby vegetables, and
some of the drinks looked really good too.
Yeah, I mean, what I found interesting is some of the frozen drinks, which, you know, we're used to. You know, they're very popular. They're very commonplace in all the parks here in Orlando. They're going to have a lot of frozen drinks, but they're going to be freshly made frozen drinks. They're not going to be pre-mixed.
The big mixers.
Yeah, with the big mixers, you know, which in a lot of places you go, that's the type, you know, if you're getting a margarita, a frozen margarita, it's not a pre-made mix. They actually have to mix the thing.
Yeah.
But they're going to have, you know, different frozen drinks with everything from, you know, with different flavors that involve rum, matcha and lime and bourbon, maple and grapefruit, you know, a lot of different unique flavors. And that seems to be the trend on the menu for this place, is a lot of unique different types of things. There's going to be like a pineapple, turmeric, lemonade mocktail for those who don't want to, you know, have their alcohol. There's going to be, you know, beef sliders. It's going to be like a summer beet glaze fig salad. You know, a lot of different, it seems like initially, a lot of different flavors they're going to have at this place. And, of course, the biggest thing is you're going to have an amazing view of the Universal Parks from the top of that that hotel.
I think that's what everybody's excited about, is just getting up there and seeing the view of the surround. I mean, you're going to be right there next to Volcano Bay. You're going to get a great view of Volcano Bay and probably the theme, especially Islands of Adventure. You'll get a great view of the whole resort area, because that rooftop bar pretty much covers the whole rooftop, if from what I understand.
Yeah, and you know, you and I aren't ones who often venture into the resorts to do stuff, but I mean, this is definitely going to be after the hotel opens up, coming up here in August. It's definitely something I know you and I are definitely probably going to go over there and head up to that roof and check that out, because it's going to be a very unique experience for
no, definitely Universal. I'm excited to get up there and check it out, like I said, for the view. And now that we've seen some of the food, getting up, oh, that's here it is. I was looking for, there was one drink that I wanted to mention that I thought personally sounded really good, the Firebird.
Yeah,
the tequila jalapeno and strawberry and cilantro, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, I
was trying to find
one of those like sort of sweet and spicy drinks that I've seen pop up at a lot of places lately that gives you, you know, we all know about, you know, frozen fruity drinks. I mean, especially living here, I mean, they're all over the place. But I think the real goal with this place is to give you a lot of unique flavors, offerings with the different mixed drink, with the different signature mixed drinks at this place. So.
Yeah, it looks good. I'm excited to check it out.
Yep. August 16th is when the hotel will open, and we look forward to checking it out. Staying at Universal, we got another house announcement.
Yep. And we were just keeping tabs on the Midsummer Scream event going on. I think it is the panel done right now?
Yeah, the panel's wrapped up.
Just in case there was some sort of announcement, but it doesn't look like they teased some new stuff, and We'll probably go over that and discuss it on next week's episode. But coming back to this one,
we got another original haunted house for Halloween Horror Nights 28. This is just for Universal Orlando. The description for it is, as guests trespass into a dilapidated carnival, they will find a maze of decayed rides and games. And soon discover they are not alone. Horrifying guard dogs, a grotesque tunnel of love, gleefully vicious performers loaded with deadly weapons fabricated from old rides, and more will stalk guests every move as they try their best to escape. From what some of the creatives behind this have revealed on Twitter, apparently you're going through like this basically this junkyard for like a carnival, and you'll be passing through old booths, you know, discarded ride pieces, and from what I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but one of the designers, the Halloween Horror Nights creative guys, like you're almost going to sort of be going through. Not only just that you're going through a maze, but you're going to see like the front end. In some cases, you'll be in the front, go through the front and the back of like some of these booths. So you might be seeing things from like scares from different angles.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't.
Yeah, where you like might pass the front of this booth, and I guess the way the maze is designed, then you might go through the back part, you know, back way, back behind the area you just passed through.
Interesting.
So and then yeah, from what I've heard, it will end with the Tunnel of Love. You'll go into like a tunnel, dilapidated, falling apart Tunnel of Love attraction. I imagine the guard dogs will probably be puppets. Maybe they'll use some puppets to.
Yeah, I saw the mention of the guard dogs, which will be interesting to see how they do that. But. No, I think this house, you know, I still can't believe we have, what, now five houses to go?
Five houses to go.
I still can't wrap my head around it. I just feel like, we're done. Every time there's a new house announcement, I'm like, okay, we're done, right? That's it. No, we still
have... and albeit this doesn't fall into the whole 80s theme, the sort of 80s theme. I mean, this is more of a, but it's more timeless. I mean, this carnival could take place at any time.
Yeah. You know, I was just glad it just wasn't, I like the theme behind it, the whole junkyard, dilapidated junkyard theme they got going with it. They just didn't do another, you know, clown circus haunted house. I kind of like the whole dilapidated, junkyard thing that they got going on with it. That that got me.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if there's any you know, considering we have people like Jack and Chance, and it'll be interesting to see if there's any Easter eggs in this house.
Yeah, I mean, you got, you know, you had everybody. Oh, I wonder if Jack's gonna be in the house. I wonder if Jack's gonna be in the house. I don't think he's going to.
No,
but like you said, there may be some Easter eggs or, you know, little nods.
Which is always great every year with the original houses, is trying to find the little... They always put a bunch of Easter eggs and callbacks to other things in a lot of the original houses. So it's going to be interesting to see if there's any sort of, you know, any sort of callbacks to anything Jack related or Chance related that pops up somewhere in this house.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, like I said, I can't believe that we still got five houses to go. I just
we are a month and a half out about, yep. And five houses to go, and
it's just insane.
It is.
I'm so excited about this year.
I think that's it for. Theme park stuff.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's everything that I had on my end. So we'll knock through some fun little pop culture things that I wanted to share with everybody on the website and stuff. And then,
yeah, you had a couple of neat little Harry Potter like toy things.
Yeah, I'm always, you know, I'm always a sucker for anything new Harry Potter. Deep down, I swear, what do they call Potter fanatics? Potterheads.
Potterheads.
Yeah. But no, these two things are really cool. The first one was a an insane Hogwarts Castle Lego set. Over 6,000 pieces this thing's going to be. And it's just the detail that they put into this thing is ridiculous. I don't know if you got a chance to study the photos of it, but it's going to have the Great Hall. It's going to have the staircase. It's going to have just all these little scenes throughout the whole castle.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts, the detail on this thing. It's, you know, and this is something Lego has really gotten into, especially with the license stuff, is these incredibly detailed, you know, sets. You know, we've seen one for, like, the Millennium Falcon, and, of course, you know, the Cinderella Castle one.
Ghostbusters was the other one.
Yeah, and this thing is nuts with the size of this thing.
Yeah,
and just the details and the amount of pieces.
Yeah, over 6,000 pieces, like I said, and just the picture that I have up on the YouTube channel on our live stream right now. You can just if you can find the high resolution one, don't use this one because it's not. But they have a super high resolution one. And you could just kind of scroll through and look at all the little details and all the different scenes in it. They have little Dementors that are flying around the castle on the outside. It's just, it's insane the detail that they put into this thing. I think the price is $399.
Yeah.
$400 for it, which is, it seems to be going price for these. I think the Millennium Falcon was also $400 and the Ghostbusters Firehouse. If I remember correctly.
Yeah, they were all up in price. And the crazy thing is, even though they're that up in price, they have an issue with, like, keeping these.
Oh, yeah, they sell out. Yeah,
sell out. You know, that, I remember the Millennium Falcon one, just, you know, it, for a while there, you could not find it anywhere. And
so if somebody walked up to you with $400, which one would you take? Ghostbusters house, Millennium Falcon,
Millennium Falcon.
I was gonna say you're a Star Wars nerd, so it's gonna be a Millennium Falcon. I
don't know if I'd want to put that thing together though. That would be a heck of a project. So.
I've seen some of the. I actually looked at the instruction manual for the Millennium Falcon one, and it's like a Bible. It's insane. I was like, no, thank you. Like, I get frustrated when when I have a Lego set that's 300 pieces. Yeah. Some of these ones that have 6,000 pieces are just. Insane. So, but yeah, I don't have the article up here in front of me when it goes on sale, but we have all the details up on throwgeek.com, all the pictures. Again, find the high resolution one and just scroll around and check out all the little nooks and crannies of this Lego set, because it's pretty insane. So
yeah, it's pretty massive.
Also, like we said, also I think both of these things were announced in the same week. It was a good week for Potter fans for new toys for them. This is by, I believe it's pronounced Kano.
Yes.
And it's an interactive wand that you actually put together, you build it, and this Kano company, they're famous for these, I don't really want to call, I guess you could call them toys, that
okay, I mean it's like STEM products, you know, and this is like a coding kit.
Yeah.
That you take a build it yourself wireless wand, and it shows you how to code and create, and you can do different challenges, and you know, it works with a software and a connected app that captures the movements.
Yeah, it looked.
It's basically like a step-by-step coding manual. It's, you know, you learn how to build the wand, you learn about the sensors, the data, the code along the way.
Yeah, and I looked up. I could have sworn I heard of this Kano company before. And like I said, they do other things that allow kids to learn coding and stuff. That's what all these the main purpose behind a lot of their products are, is to teach kids coding and, you know, stuff like that. So really cool. You download the app and you, like I said, you basically program your wand, and the video is really cool. We have it up on throwgeek.com on the article for it. It's available now for pre-order. It's $99, $100. And you can pre-order it at kano.me, And I think it goes on sale. I have it right here. October 1st in United States, Canada, UK, Australia, and New Zealand. October 1st, it goes on sale. So it yeah, also and comes it, with a poster.
Yeah. There you go. You know, and it you have like, you know, the spells a lot of people know of, Incendio, Stupefy, Wingardium Leviosa. And and so, I mean, like I said, anything that there's a lot more of these type of toys that for kids where they learn stuff like coding. I mean, it's blows my mind some of the stuff they have now for kids where they can literally learn like this, you know, basic stuff like coding, you know.
Yeah, I was trying to find like what the age recommendation for this stuff is. I don't know if it's something that I could get for Jordan, him being eight years old tomorrow. I don't know if it's something or for something for kids that are a little bit older, you know, kind of like the preteen, 12 teenager, you know.
I don't know. I mean, these kids now, man,
they pick it up pretty quick. Yeah,
yeah. They've had computers and tablets and all this since they were little. So they pick up on this stuff a lot faster. So moving on.
Yeah, that's it with Potter goodies. I just wanted to share those two little Potter goodies with everybody because I thought they were pretty cool.
But Star Wars Episode 9, the official cast has been announced. And, we've sort of talked about this, last podcast, some of the rumors that had come out.
Yeah, we discussed about what's her name possibly coming on.
Carrie Russell.
Carrie, thank you. Yeah.
The returning cast is all who we expected. Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, Lupita Nyong'o, Domhnall Gleeson, Kelly Marie Tran. Jonas, I can't say his Sutomo, he's now officially Chewbacca.
Yeah, I guess they kind of got him locked in as Chewie now.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, Carrie Fisher's daughter, Billie Lourd, is all back. There's some new actors, Carrie Russell, Richard E. Grant, Naomi Aki, and then, of course, the veteran Star Wars performers, Mark Hamill, Anthony Daniels. We talked about Billy Dee Williams. He is back as Lando Calrissian. But the surprising announcement... And the most interesting is that Carrie Fisher will be returning in Episode 9.
Yep.
Thanks to, and they're saying only from The Force Awakens, thanks to previously unused footage that was shot during The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have no clue what that footage is, but, J.J. Abrams sort in the press release that was seen, we desperately love Carrie Fisher, finding a truly satisfying conclusion to the Skywalker saga. Without her eluded us, we were never going to recast or use a CG character, but with the support and blessing from her daughter, Billy, we found a way to honor Carrie's legacy and role as Leia in Episode 9 by using unseen footage we shot together in Episode 7.
It'll be interesting. I don't know how they're going to do it, but apparently this footage they had from her from Episode 7 is enough to come up with something to... I don't know if they're going to give her, like, a proper send-off or what, but apparently they...
Yeah, I mean, we've all thought the only thing that can be done is she gets killed. I mean,
yeah.
There's no other... Unfortunately, no other way I can think around it.
Yeah.
And obviously, whatever it was, her daughter, who I believe now has full control over her estate, obviously, she signed off on it. Whatever it is, she felt okay with it. I'm glad we're gonna see her however they do it in Episode 9. We all knew that was going to be the biggest issue with Episode 9 is finding a way to, deal with Carrie Fisher passing away, because from what we sort of have been told, Episode 9 was supposed, whereas you know, episode 7 was you know, Han Solo's sort of movie as far as the veteran. You know, episode 8 was Luke's.
Yeah.
And episode 9 was supposed to be her movie as far as the veteran character. It will be interesting, and of course, John Williams will be scoring the episode 9.
Which, didn't he say this was going to be his last?
I believe this will be his final, unless something changes, his final Star Wars film.
Yeah.
Wrapping up with the
Skywalker saga.
Yeah, and filming is supposed to officially begin August 1st. At Pinewood Studios in London, and it's still scheduled for a December 2019 release. And much like episode 7 and 8, I believe we aren't going. You know, if we're not going to hear anything about it as far as
yeah, Disney's going to keep this one pretty tight left, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, how well episode 9 does, because
we got Abrams back behind the helm now. So,
you know, the Star Wars fan base, I never want to say divided, but there is a percentage of them who are angry and pissy.
Yeah.
And
especially with The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
So I mean, The Last Jedi, there was a lot of drama with the Star Wars fan base.
We'll see how episode 9 does, but as anything, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so. Of course. It's any Star Wars. Let's go.
Yeah. Now we're going to get to the movie review part, because both Clint and I have seen Mission Impossible Fallout. So
we're reviewing Hotel Transylvania Summer Vacation, because I just saw it. No.
So if this will be full of spoilers, so if you don't want to get spoiled, even though I will say I don't know really what we can say that hasn't been seen in countless trailers and behind the scenes of this movie.
Yeah.
I gotta
see the movie again, and we're seeing again on Tuesday night. I have to see the movie again just to kind of wrap my head around some of the 600 plot twists in this movie that happened.
Yeah. So we're going to get into this movie. So if you don't want any spoilers, please stop listening now. For those who know Clint, when he gets excited about a film,
oh my God,
he gets excited about a film.
I will let you know.
And I don't think you've been this excited after seeing a movie since you saw The Greatest Showman. So
shut up.
I will say, it's hard to believe that this is the sixth film in this franchise that has gone back 22 years. And I really feel like the last two are probably the best two in the entire series. This movie was... In a world where even action movies have become so CGI heavy,
yeah,
this movie was stunning. I mean, the action scenes in this are insane, and they don't let up. And there's so much practical stuff going on.
There's like every time the only time there was a break was to move the story forward.
Yeah,
and then it was right back into it.
And the story is a good story, and
it is,
and it helps by the fact that basically, you know, the main team in this movie is the same that was in Rogue Nation.
Yeah,
which is a great film, and really, I think really was a breath of fresh air in this series, and it helped having the same, you know, main group again, which, you know, as crazy as some of the stunts Tom Cruise does, I really feel like the last two movies with the actors and the characters that they have now, he doesn't do all the heavy lifting anymore when it comes to story and everything. They're all a very integral part of the story now. And which makes, you know, when he has to do the crazy, when he does the crazy stuff, it's like I said, that chase scene through Paris was nuts.
I think that, and I mean, just the helicopter scene at the end when he gets up on that helicopter all the way to the end was just, I mean, I was literally on the edge of my seat. Like, not just those two parts, every action scene in that movie is the fight scene in the bathroom.
Yeah.
The choreography for that fight scene was unbelievable.
And the way, it's the same director who directed the last one, Christopher McQuarrie. The way, with having so many of the actors do a lot of their own stunts, and a lot, especially like the fight scene with Tom Cruise, who's Henry Cavill, and the bad guy.
Yeah.
That the way it gets shot is, you know, it's shot in a way that you can tell it's them doing it. It's them doing the fight. I mean, it's not like, oh, here's a close up and then let's cut to the stunt doubles.
Yeah, no, you can see it's them. 100%.
Yeah, and it bleeds over to the action sequences, especially the helicopter one, cuz yes, that's the way it's shot. It's like it's Tom Cruise flying that helicopter.
He flew that damn thing too, which is insane. I mean, this guy
and then you cut to, you know, you cut to a shot of Henry Cavill, and it's Henry Cavill hanging off the side of that helicopter firing a gun.
Yeah.
At Tom Cruise flying the other helicopter, and it's shot in a way that you can tell that's a real shot. They're not faking this, and it's that whole helicopter chase is shot in a way I've never seen. Like a helicopter action scene in a movie shot before, because normally if you're doing like a helicopter scene let's say, for example, the opening of Spectre, which has that fight in the helicopter above the crowd.
Yeah,
you got like a wide shot of the helicopter. You cut to the inside of the helicopter, which is obviously on a sound stage. And then you cut to like a medium shot that has the stunt double that has the stunt doubles, you know, hanging off the side of the helicopter. Whereas, I mean, this thing is shot with, you know,
the actors
with the actors, you know, I mean, not only does Tom Cruise pilot helicopters, but to get to that point, he's hanging off this giant pallet of supplies or whatever, climbing up a wire. You know, albeit when he's doing the stunt, yeah, he's got a safety wire, but he's still flying through the air, hanging off a wire, and it's shot in a way that you can tell that this is a practical thing going on. It's not, you know, the CGI that's used in this movie is used to either get rid of the wires or the safety rig, or to enhance the scene. Like the high altitude jump, that sequence that's done in the movie, they shot it in Abu Dhabi,
which, yeah,
you know, is not Paris, but you know, your Paris is superimposed over it. Or like when they're, you know, they fly through the storm cloud, they obviously didn't shoot through a storm cloud.
I saw that behind the scenes they filmed on like a wind tunnel or something. I can't remember if it was where they jump out of the big C-130 or they.
Well, part of that, most of that was, a lot of it was shot where they actually jumped out of the plane.
Yeah, I saw
they did,
that.
They did over 100 jumps.
Yeah, it's all one video on YouTube. It's a behind the scenes video, but they did, I think it was the filming where, I think it was when they first jumped out of the C-130, because they had to film it to where he got in close contact with them. And I think that part, you know, where he's trying to hook his oxygen back up.
Yeah.
I think that was shot on in a wind tunnel.
Yeah.
But I mean, regardless, I think that's why I enjoyed it so much, is because the norm has become these computer generated, you know, films that, you know,
yeah,
you
mean,
know, are fake.
It, you know, even like, you know, the Fast and the Furious, one of the things, like when they started, it's like, it was like, you know, one of the things that people liked about it was like all these car chases, and and stuff. But as this that series went along, it had a lot more CGI car chases going on.
Yeah, they went the CG route a lot.
And that's been commonplace in a lot of action movies where a lot of CGI is being used where it would have been practical stunts before. I mean, one of the few that doesn't, you know, and a good example of one that doesn't do that is like Bourne.
Yeah.
Bourne is very like in your face and very practical. But I mean, the tension throughout this entire movie was, like you said, it was edge of your seat the entire time.
Oh yeah. I just,
and it doesn't let up until the end. And the other great thing is it really brought full circle the story that started in Mission Impossible 3 with his wife. And
yeah,
it brought all the way around back to that. And I don't think this is going to be the last one, especially since this is, you know, at $61 million was the biggest opening out of any of these movies. And the word of mouth, I think, on this movie is going to be very, very good.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen one bad thing about it.
And I think it's like one of the best reviewed one out of all of them. So if this is the last one, it ended in a way that's just sort of bookended everything. But I think I would definitely like to see if they do another one, as long as it's the same, you know, core four, you know, people, played by Tom Cruise and of course, Ving Rhames is back again as Luther, Simon Pegg's back again as Benji, and then Rebecca Ferguson returns as, Ilsa, as I think that's right. And I think if it's that core group right there, and even, you know, even the villain, he didn't get killed once again at the end of this one, just like he hasn't in the last in the previous movie.
One of the villains.
Yeah, one of the villains. And so I'm all, you know, as good as this one is, I'm all for if they want to keep the same group and, I mean, the same people doing this, I would love to see another one. But this one does sort of, like, ends... You know, it is a bookend if this is the last one, but I after the way, how well it's done, I seriously doubt it'll be the last one.
Yeah, I mean, they rounded it out pretty well with the end of this one, so I mean, they could end it here, but I don't see that happening, especially with, like you said, as good as this one's doing at the box office this weekend. But yeah, I left that movie theater like completely blown away, and it was for some reason this film was just such a breath of fresh air. You know, I think we've gotten in this rut of Star Wars and Disney and Marvel, which I'm not down talking those films at all.
No, and this is a franchise. I mean, it is, you know, albeit it's one that has gone through different arc incarnations.
Yeah.
As it's got, you know, it has become a different thing over the years. I mean, we've come a long way from the first Mission Impossible movie.
Oh yeah.
But
easily.
Yeah. You know, It's really, they, like I said, I felt like, you know, especially this movie and the last one, they've sort of out James Bond. So it's,
I can attest to that. I agree.
And, I don't know, albeit I don't know what the heck else Tom Cruise can do now that he hasn't done in one of the last six films.
Yeah, he's kind of running out of options.
I mean, you know, this one he learned how to pilot a helicopter, you know, he jumped out of an, you know, the shoot, that whole thing, they jumped like over 100 times. You know, out of an airplane.
Now, when he's on the rooftop and he injured himself, did they use the shot where he injured himself?
They used that shot in the movie.
Because I noticed when he got up, he was limping, and I'm no actor.
That is the exact shot they used in the movie.
Okay. It looked like it, because when he got up, he was limping, and that wasn't in an acting limp.
No, it is the exact shot they used in the movie when he injured himself.
Yeah, that's awesome. Not the injury, but the fact that they used that in the film.
Yeah, I mean, between the stuff he's done, this film, the last film, they strapped him to the side of a freaking airplane.
Oh gosh, yeah,
and took off. In Mission Impossible 4, he climbed and hung off the side of the tallest building in the world.
Oh, the one in Dubai or whatever it is.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And you know, so there he's. I don't know what else he could do in the next one.
But like I said, he's filming Top Gun now. And after seeing this movie, I'm like, oh my God, what is he going to do in Top Gun? He learned to pilot.
Yeah, well, I think he's supposed to be more the mentor in this in Top Gun.
No, hell no. He needs to get into a F whatever. What?
I mean, it's mind-blowing that he's 56 years old.
Yeah, that's insane. The guy's obviously dedicated to this and, you know, just...
I know, and I hate it sometimes because he's also a Scientologist, so it's...
Is he still... I was wondering, is he still... I thought he dropped out of that.
No, he's still a Scientologist.
Oh.
He's, like, super Scientologist, but he's, you know, over the years, he has, you know, been, you know, such a great actor. It's funny how far he's come from Risky Business way back in the day.
Yeah.
To you know, so many of these roles he's played, and it just like I said, there's not many series, six movies in, 22 years later, that this one and the last one are probably the two best one in the entire series.
Oh, easily.
I think as long as they keep this core group of actors and the creative team that's currently doing it, I would love to see in 2 to 3 years another Mission Impossible film.
And if you don't see this movie in a large screen format, Dolby IMAX, you are doing yourself a huge disservice. The way this shot was filmed.
Yeah, I got to see it in IMAX.
The way this film was shot.
You got to see it in Dolby, and then we're all going to see it again in Dolby Tuesday night. Yeah, no, it's one. This is a big screen movie. This is something you should see on the big screen.
And I got kind of gutsy, and I got a little bit closer normally than I do when I see it, and it was actually pretty cool. The screen, I wasn't like, you know, the second row. I was probably 6 or 8 rows back. So I was close, but I wasn't, you know, breaking my neck to look at the screen, but I was close enough to where, like, the screen enveloped me, and that was really cool. I normally don't do that. Usually I'm pretty far back, but with Fallout, I got pretty close, and I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. So, but yeah, if you don't see this in IMAX or Dolby, you're wasting, I mean, you're not wasting your money, because the film's still going to be a great experience, but the Dolby and the IMAX and DTX or whatever it is, all these theaters have their big screen format names now. See it that way, because it's worth the extra money with this film.
All right. Well, I think we are done. Is there anything else we need to talk about?
I don't think so. There was some stuff that we didn't get to, but we could probably save that for next week. Some little minor things here and there. excuse me. Hopefully this YouTube live stream went well. As far as performance, I've been trying to watch it here on my phone. I kept it kind of hush-hush. I didn't want to announce it, so we probably didn't get a lot of people watching in the chat and stuff. But as long as this did well, and as far as, you know, just performing well and it looks good and everything, I think we'll continue it. And I'll start advertising it more so we get more people in the chat room, more interaction, which is one of the main reasons why I started doing it on YouTube, is to have interaction from other people. So,
Yeah, I mean, it's a way for us to interact and also do this live. You know, it's mainly usually just us sitting here talking to ourselves, but we're hoping like this will add a completely new element with being able to do it live. And, you know, if someone wants to listen live, they can you know, sit there and interact, ask us a question or stuff while the podcast is going on.
No, and I think this was also a good test for the live stream. You know, like I said, over the past few weeks, I've been figuring out this OBS software, getting to learn it better, and I think we can start doing more stuff on YouTube if it calls for it. You know, we can start doing, you know, just, you know, kind of hanging out on YouTube. If there's a night where we don't want to record the podcast, we just want to get on YouTube, you know, and just kind of hang out or whatever. So,
And if like a major announcement comes down there, this will be a way for us to maybe do something that will just be on YouTube and as sort of a bonus.
Yeah, we could do something to where, you know, if Horror Nights announces a haunted house that night, we could jump on, and instead of doing a YouTube video where we have to film it, then edit it, and then upload it. This is live, so, you know, we just hit that streaming button and we go. So we'll play around with it, see how things go, and hopefully we do well with it, because I really want everybody to interact with it, because that was kind of the main reason why I did this whole live stream thing. So I think that's it, though. Like I said, check out all of our H2O Glow coverage from Typhoon Lagoon. Again, thanks to Disney for having us out for that. We have videos.
Yeah, we got stuff on Instagram, all Twitter, over Facebook, and of course right here on the YouTube channel, we have the H2O Glow Nights party video where we show you what it's like to enjoy this fun new event.
Yep. So, all right, Barry, get us out of here.
We are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/thrillgeek. Be sure to like and follow our Facebook channel. Did I say channel? That's a page, not a channel. And youtube.com/thrillgeek. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're almost at 18,000 subscribers. We are really happy how far, well, it's growing, but if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Remember to visit thrillgeek.com for the latest in theme park and pop culture news. And if you want to listen to this podcast, which you're probably already listening to, so why am I telling you? It's click on podcast at thrillgeek.com, and we're also on iTunes, Google the Play. Was it Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio?
That's it.
Anywhere you can probably get a podcast, you can probably hear us. You can even tell your Alexa to play the Thrill Geek podcast.
Yep.
And it'll play the podcast and listen to your conversations.
So, yeah, it'll creep you out. So,
yes.
All right, guys, we're out of here. So thanks for watching in the live chat if you watch us on YouTube. And we'll see you guys again next week.
See you in the parks.